The state of New York has decided to pay women for donating eggs for stem cell research. What are the scientific implications of such a move? What are the ethical considerations? Hi, welcome to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, go to practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Joining us today are Dr. David Albertini of the University of Kansas Medical Center and Dr. Nancy Howell of the St. Paul School of Theology in Kansas City, Missouri. First, a general reaction from you both on the path that the state of New York has decided to take. Dr. Howell, let's start with you.
First, I'd like to say that I want to be cautious about the idea of selling eggs. There are concerns about what informed consent really means under those circumstances, and I know that some people are worried about exploitation of women in the process.
Dr. Albertini, your general reaction to...
I would echo those concerns and say that we need to know a bit more about what the advantages and disadvantages would be. And simultaneously, I think we do need to look at informed consent and some of these other issues.
Let's talk about the science involved. Dr. Albertini, describe the process of egg donation and the role that they play in this research.
So egg donation has been with us for probably 10 or 12 years now as a therapeutic treatment that is offered to patients who are unable to produce their own eggs and who are part of a partnership where they would like to reproduce. It does have a commercial tone to it as we practice it clinically at this point, so that there are reimbursement fees that are established. There are screenings that go on for these patients, but essentially the egg donors go through the same treatments that any woman would go through who would be involved with infertility treatment. And there are health risks associated with this that I should point out as well. So those treatments essentially involve the woman receiving a series of hormone injections that will stimulate her ovary to produce more than the normal number of follicles that a human ovary would produce. And essentially about 20 days after these hormone injections are started, there is a procedure, a laparoscopic procedure that's used to actually go into the abdominal cavity of the woman and retrieve anywhere from 10 to 20 eggs from her ovaries. And those would then be the eggs that would be used in the clinical case for producing embryos for subsequent transfer into that person. And there are risks associated with the hormone injections. There are somewhat slighter risks associated with the actual surgical procedure that's involved in retrieval of the eggs. But that's what these donors would be expected to do in the case of donating eggs for stem cell research.
So there are risks involved, some discomfort, definitely, I would imagine.
Yes, there is.
On the part of the woman.
Yes.
And at least the state of New York has put a price tag on that of between $5,000 and $10,000.
That's correct. That is correct.
What do you think about that? $5,000 to $10,000, putting a dollar value on it. Some discomfort there?
I find that a bit troubling at this point because personally I think that the risk associated with what we call controlled ovarian hyperstimulation, they're very real. They affect patients who are using this kind of procedure to deal with their own infertility issues. And that's one of the things that I think needs to be looked at more closely before you begin to put a price tag on women donating this material in general and assuming that there would be little or no health risk for them.
Now let's talk about those questions and talk about those ethics. Dr. Howell, what concerns do you have from an ethical point of view? You talked about consent first.
In many ways, informed consent is at the center of this controversy, in my view. And I can think about the health risks, the compensation, and most other issues in terms of how they affect informed consent. If we look at compensation, for example, selling eggs itself is commodification of human tissues, which already raises issues about informed consent, because one has to wonder whether I can truly say that I want to be part of a process if I am selling my body parts, in essence. And so if I happen to be someone who is poor and really needs the money, for example, I want to pay tuition or I have a car payment or my child has a health issue, then am I really consenting freely? or do I have certain socioeconomic conditions that affect me? The other issue besides selling the eggs is what kind of compensation I may have for being a part of the procedures that are involved themselves. There is no consistent law about what happens when compensation is given for direct medical cost or for time involved. And what worries me about that is that we can have what Science Magazine refers to as tissue tourism, that certain parts of the world and certain regions of the United States could be more susceptible to biotech companies and researchers coming in, and particular women will be exploited in those circumstances. And that's of concern. Again, we have the issue of poorer populations being more exploited than those who are better off.
The poor, and especially in this economy, that's even more of a consideration.
I would guess more of us would be inclined to think about selling our eggs and to about being compensated for involvement in scientific research right now.
Then there's still the question overall of any kind of therapies that might be developed from the stem cell research and its just distribution of those therapies.
Absolutely. It seems to me the issue of profitability, access, and how women are included in the process is important. Much of the issue in much of the conversation in bioethics literature has to do with the exclusion of women from research. We want people to study our hearts and our bodies and our health in general. We also want to be free to make decisions about how our bodies are used and affected. And what is interesting about this issue is that I think women really desire on a lot of levels to be a part of stem cell research, but the question is whether this is the way to do it. For example, if to get back to informed consent, I can give informed consent about going through a procedure and donating my eggs, but once I have given those eggs to a particular institution, I have no control over how they are used, for what kinds of therapies they're used, how the information will be distributed, who has access to it, how biotech companies will profit from them. And clearly, I as a female would not have any benefit from those particular advantages that others receive.
Well, consent, and then it sounds like there's some conscience issues involved with this too, because if a female's eggs would be used in a research or a procedure that they may ethically be opposed to, there's an issue there too, isn't it?
Absolutely. There are a lot of us who would be totally happy with having our eggs used to further medical research and the health of others. I don't think there's any controversy about wanting to be sure that others have access to health care, and many of us would like to be a part of that process. But the issues become complicated because women often vanish in the discussions. What's interesting to me is so much of our talk about cloning and stem cell research is focused on so much of our work has focused on the embryo itself, that the egg is forgotten, and the woman who in a sense, provided the egg, is also forgotten here. And so this is an exciting place to be involved, but not all women are the same. And that's that's what we often forget. So I think about one of my colleagues in religious studies. Her name is Dolores Williams. She's written about the history of sexual exploitation and surrogacy for black women in the slave culture of the United States. And we'd like to think that that involuntary surrogacy has stopped. But she has also written about the voluntary forms of surrogacy that followed the Civil War when slavery was ended. There were kinds of surrogacy that kept black women in the position of being sexually exploited, raising white people's children. And she speculates in a book written a couple of decades ago about what will happen in the future, about science of reproduction, and how black women could become exploited again. For example, just in vitro fertilization or becoming surrogate carriers. So will we have a new breeder society of women, as it were, who help us to provide the eggs that can further stem cell research? So I want to be especially sensitive to a part of the community of theoethicists and bioethicists who bring to our attention the distrust of African Americans for medical procedures in the medical and research communities in general.
Dr. Albertini, public funding within the state of New York, is that something that complicates matters with this issue as well?
Well, it's going to complicate matters in every state that has essentially taken the burden of support for embryonic stem cell research upon themselves. So that I think that's the jury will still be out as to the fact that individuals within a given state, and as you say, I mean, we might see regionalization of, you know, for example, states that are known for being prolific egg donors because within that microsociety, they've managed to accept it, and there's been some sort of approval at the state level for going forward with this kind of a program. I think there's another element of this that we should discuss. For example, you bring up the possibility that certain groups of women may be taken advantage of, for example, you know, impoverished members of society, et cetera, and would see really the double-edged sword of, is this a way for me to get, you know, some more income, you know, into my own personal situation. I do know that when these discussions have happened in the past, there's been much interest in seeing that women who would choose, and they do this today, in fact, for egg donation programs, have to go through a rigorous psychological screening. There have to be incentives other than just, you know, this is a money-making thing. And many of these women that presently participate in egg donation programs, in fact, choose to donate some of that material for research because there's so little that we know even about the basic biology of the human egg that we think is at the heart of, you know, why these stem cells that we have produced so far are of such an inferior quality. And I like to use that just as a segue, even though I don't honestly know if this was a motivation in the state of New York's program, I'd like to use it as a segue to the subject of, well, if we want to continue to do stem cell research with cells that have been derived from human embryos, what is really the state of the utility with the cells that we have? Obama has already indicated that he is willing to support in some level many of the established cell lines that we have being distributed either by the government or by private agencies. But he certainly has not come out and said that we need a wholesale effort here to produce many more new embryonic stem cells, okay? Now, there is a basic biological issue behind all of this, which is that egg donors generally turn out to be younger women. And so that will be a subclass of women that, you know, will be targeted for this, okay? And all of the embryonic stem cell lines that we've produced so far have been leftover embryos from generally infertile patients who are in excess of 35 to 40 years old, and it is no surprise from a biological perspective that these cells really have limited utility. So that biological principle may be behind it, but I think, again, these other issues need to be worked out before we say we're going to make a wholesale effort.
Well, Dr. Opportunity, it seems that the technology is continuing to evolve with this as well, and there are some in the scientific community who believe this aspect of stem cell research is almost in the past as induced pluripotent stem cells, and I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly.
You are.
Where adult cells are converted into the equivalent of embryonic ones is seen as a replacement for all of this effort.
Yes, that is theoretically a solution to the problem of generating new embryos from egg donors for producing new stem cells if the IPS, or induced pluripotent stem cell technology, indeed does work. And there is certainly a very active effort going in that direction. And that would, I think, resolve in many ways this question of, do we really need to derive eggs from donors in order to produce new embryonic stem cell lines? Okay? And hopefully, you know, that field will continue to advance. I must remind you, and I think Dr. Howell already alluded to this, that the United States in particular has characteristically not funded research on human ovaries, human eggs, and human embryos for many, many years now. And so the other side of this is that the opportunity to establish a rigorously tested and developed program in egg donation would provide the unique opportunity to begin to do some of the basic molecular and cellular research that we simply have not been able to do.
Dr. Howell, your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more. I think those are important avenues for research. But I don't think it's impossible that things can go wrong. In my view, I think my colleagues who are in the sciences or medical research are highly ethical people. Those are people whose word I value and whose research I trust. And many are part of projects that have to do with thinking about ethics. But we know that exploitation is not out of the realm of possibility when we remember Seoul National University, where junior scholars in the sciences who were women, obviously younger women who may have been doctoral students or persons with their doctoral degrees, you know, who were just starting out, were the donors of eggs for research in that laboratory. Now, to what extent may there be certain kinds of professional coercion or even, though they're not, you know, explicit, what kinds of pressures might there be on younger women in a field to help provide the tissues necessary to do this sort of research? So it's not that we shouldn't do things necessarily, but it's that we should think very carefully about how we can do them in ways that protect women and make them fully involved in the thinking and the processes and the ethics and the research itself so that women aren't exploited.
You know, I feel like we just really have started this discussion, but let's wrap this up with a question on this debate continuing and your advice to colleagues and to the general public on how they should consider the scientific and the ethical implications of this research as it evolves in the future. Dr. Albertini?
Well, I think, I think the jury is still out. I think we should proceed with caution. I think it's time to have a very, very critical look at some of the issues that have been raised today, such as informed consent, reimbursements. I think this is a very real danger that segments of society may, in fact, be abused in the end if we were to just open the doors for this to proceed. So I think that we need to exercise some discretion and some good dialogue, really, mm-hmm. between the bioethicist and those in the science community.
Dr. Howell, the last word.
My final word in all cases, in every case, is that we need to keep the conversation going. Scientists and ethicists need to be involved with each other as we pursue alternatives.
Dr. David Albertini is with the University of Kansas Medical Center, and Dr. Nancy Howell spends her time at the St. Paul School of Theology in Kansas City. Thanks to you both, and good luck. You've been listening to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. If you have a question or a comment about this program, please email me at lorel929@gmail.com. That's lorel929@gmail.com. I'm your host, Lorel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.